Welcome back to the Puma Podcast, guys. I'm Tori.
Hey, I'm Puma, and we are glad to be back.
Yeah, we missed a week.
We did miss a week. Yeah, but it was good.
It was
a good reason to miss a week.
It was.
I mean, besides the fact that many of us were sick.
Well, that's also true.
But why did we miss a week?
Well, my wife was great with child, and she had our baby. So,
yay.
Yep, and because we record in my basement, so our house is a little bit indisposed. But yeah, she's doing all right, and God blessed it. And a little bit complicated home birth, but it went really well. And honestly, God was so gracious. I'm very excited to have our son into the world.
Yep. Well, I'm very glad that your son is here.
Yeah. Well, so. And yeah, we're talking about names, right? The names of God in the series. We've gone over a bunch. Before I share my son's name, do you want to kind of go through a little review of some of the names and the importance they have?
Yeah. Well, we've done, a lot of different names of God.
Yeah. I know. I think we started with God's personal name, Yahweh, right? His personal name revealed in Exodus to Moses on Mount Sinai. And this is like, yeah, I'm Yahweh. I'm the personal, intimate friend. I want to be known by you.
Yeah, the series is talking about the names of God and why the names of God. I mean, it's just names. But Psalm 9:10 says, mm-hmm. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you.
Yeah.
And that's a promise that God, he says, that when we get to know him, learn to trust him, that he does not cast us aside or get rid of us, you know, those that seek him. But there's something about getting to know someone's name. When we talked earlier at the beginning, that names, really an invitation to relationship. It highlights, identifies a person. It says something about the person. And in the Bible, there are many different if you want to say names for God, it's not like God says, oh, I got 30,000 names and, you know, all this. But many of the names are names that people gave. Sometimes God says, this is my name, or a name by which you can know me or call me. Sometimes it's a name that people ascribe to God because of a situation. But every situation in the Bible where we hear a name for God, it highlights something about him. So, for instance, a new name that I have taken on in the last several weeks is Grandpa.
Grandpa.
Papa Puma.
Papa Puma.
Yeah, I'm Papa Puma. You see, just that tells you something about me. That also assumes that I am also a father.
That's true.
Right? But if I use the word husband, or I use the word pastor, or all these different titles, each one says something about me, something a little bit different. And so as you get to know the different, in a sense, names or titles that I have, you get to learn something about me, my character, my situation, my life. And this is what we see in the Bible. We see many different situations where there are different names ascribed to God. So yeah, we looked at like Yahweh, which was God's personal covenant name from Exodus chapter 3 that he gave to Moses and to the Israelites. We looked at Jehovah Rohi, which is the Lord is my shepherd. We see that in Psalm 23, you know, where God is called the shepherd because he wants us to know that he's the one worth following. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. God wants us to know that he's one who's out to help us and heal us, not out to harm us. One of my favorites, Jehovah Sikenu, the Lord our righteousness, which is that God wants us to know that he will be our righteousness. And the reason for that is because we need to be right and righteous and holy to dwell, interact, have a relationship with a righteous, holy God. Yeah. And it goes on and on. I mean, we looked at so many different names. And so today we're going to look at another name. And, you know, it's Christmas season. And so we're going to be in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 1. But, you know, naming a person, Tori, you've had this experience here the last month here. You know, it's a kind of amazing thing. You know, I've had 8 kids, got to name 8 children, now it's your turn to get to name
one. I know. Well, names are so interesting. As Emily and I were thinking of baby names, we kind of went through first a list of people that we don't necessarily want to name our baby after, right? We're not naming our baby like, you know, Damien or like Saddam, right? There are certain names you just don't name.
Or Benedict Arnold, right?
Right.
Well, it's interesting because there are names that have certain stereotypes or certain characteristics, quote unquote, attached to them.
Right. Chucky? Nah. Yeah. So as we're going through the names we didn't want to name our child, which honestly sometimes is kind of sad because like we like some names, but then when you hear that name, you think of that person or that situation. It's like, oh, I can't do that. But we actually had a really hard time finding a boy name. We had lots of girl names that we agreed on, but the boy name was really difficult. And we ended up going with Jonathan, Jonathan David. And it's so interesting because there's three reasons for that. Number one, I kind of already mentioned, but we didn't know any Jonathans that we didn't like. In fact, our experiences of people that we know with the name Jonathan are good, godly men. And that was really cool. The second reason, and maybe more of an aside, but you know, the whole running buddy, right? So my middle name is David. Puma, your middle name is David. And so it was kind of cool to have that David. But even growing up, to have that running buddy, that Jonathan, someone to come alongside you in ministry and could support you, could run with you, not be a drag or a need, but to be a support. And when I was thinking through the first, second Samuel, the story of David, Jonathan has always impressed me. I think he's the only person aside from Jesus who gave up the right to be king, that Jonathan willingly gave up the crown. I mean, he was the prince and King Saul was his dad. He had every right to be king, but because God showed him differently, Jonathan saw that God's plan was for David. And so yeah, Jonathan willingly gave up the throne, which is amazing. That always impressed me. And lastly, Jonathan's name, what does it mean? It means gift from God. And Jonathan is our first son. He's a gift. And, you know, all good things come from Jesus. All good things come from God. And so how cool that his name just literally means a gift from God. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the reason for our son's name, Jonathan.
Nice. I love that. Yeah. And so we pick names that have meaning and significance. And really, in our culture, we give children names. Looking at some of the names that parents these days have given their children, I wonder if they've had any thought at all into some of them. But in the first century Israel and Jewish culture, the names were incredibly significant because they had a much higher value on historical lineage and family name and honor and all that comes with that. And so when there was a baby born, obviously they took great thought into who they're going to name.
Yeah, it meant something. It was very meaningful. It was not a flippant, oh, let's give this guy hit any name. It was very deeply personal.
Yeah, deeply personal. So we're going to look at the name given to the Christmas child.
Yeah, let's dive in. All right, Puma, Christmas child.
Christmas child.
It seems to be leading somewhere.
Yeah, so Matthew 1:18. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
Mm. Wow.
You know, Mary is with child. She's betrothed to Joseph. Basically, there's a legal relationship there. And, you know, I don't know if Mary had thought about that. We know from Luke that the angel came to Mary and told her the same thing, you know, that the baby is to be born and, you know, his name is going to be Jesus. You know, it's not Joseph. And I don't know if in Mary's family, if there were other like familial names of parents and men in the family, but oftentimes you would have the names of the men in the family or just that the honor with some of that would be passed on,
especially the firstborn.
And the angel said, "No, you're to give him the name Jesus." And there's something very significant about that name when we think about our theme verse, Psalm 9:10, those who know your name will trust in you. There's a reason why that the angel said, name him Jesus, because God wants us to know something about himself, mm-hmm. about his heart, about his character, even in the naming of, you know, the Messiah, you know, Jesus. So the name Jesus, what, I mean, we've all heard that name, and it really, mm-hmm. honestly, it's so familiar that it means nothing to yeah. us, really. But, you know, in the first century, what was the meaning behind the name Jesus?
Yeah, so I just actually learned this semi-recently, but yeah, the name Jesus is a Greek word, right? The Hebrew word is Yeshua, and so Joshua, and so the Hebrew word, I know we say Jesus based off the Greek, but the Hebrew word of Jesus' name means the Lord saves.
Yeah, the Lord saves. Even right here in Matthew chapter 1, you know, the angel said, name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Mm. In other words, the name Jesus was really a name that pictured what his life was going to be. He was going to live and die and give his life as a ransom for many. He was going to save mankind yeah. from their sin. And you know, it's like, well, you know, what's the big deal with yeah. the, with
right sin? I mean, yeah, someone's going to save me from what, evil? I mean, is that
yeah, you know, when we think about being saved or the Savior, like what are we being saved from, or what's the mm-hmm. you know, big idea? I mean, am I being saved just from the all the garbage of this earth and the all mm-hmm. the pain and suffering? I want paradise, right? I want vacation. I want to mm-hmm. I want to go to Disneyland. I want to be
right,
rescued.
Material saving.
Yeah, you
financial.
Know. You know, I mean, here it's very very specific. You know, he says we will be saved and rescued from our sin.
Yeah, this is an eternal, supernatural saving. Yeah, I like how you said it's not, oh, we're going to save you from your finances, save you from getting, you know, leprosy. This is not a physical, this is a supernatural, a spiritual saving.
Yeah, and, you know, why is being saved from, you know, our sin, why is that such a big deal? I guess, especially even in light of the church today, it seems like sin is not that big a deal. Mm. In our world, our culture, very, very flippant about sin.
Yeah.
You know, why is sin such a big deal?
Well, it's, again, like the supernatural side, without sin, without being saved from our constant rebellion against a holy and just God, we'll be eternally damned. Right? I mean, every person in the world, including my newborn, I mean, we are born with a sin nature. We are fallen innately and also by choice. And so we need rescuing, because without a supernatural spiritual savior, we will spend forever apart from God.
Yeah, we talk about sin and things we should and shouldn't do, but the practical, and I mentioned this on some of our podcasts, but the practical side of why sin is so bad is that sin destroys relationships. Mm. Sin separates people from each other.
Yeah.
You know, in marriage, sin is what separates a husband and a wife from each other. The love that they have, that confess for each other, it is sin that ruins that.
Yeah.
In relationships between parents and children, it is sin that ruins that. Relationships between me and my best friend, right? All I gotta do is gossip, post something online.
Yeah.
And what is that good do? I sin against them. That ruins the relationship. Take that in a grand scale. God, who created us for that purpose, to know us, to relate to us, to have a real functional relationship, created in his image. Why was, you know, sin so devastating? Because it literally separated us from the God who knows us and loves us.
Yeah.
And so Jesus, you know, he is the Messiah. The angel prophesies and says, you know, what his name is going to be. His name literally means the Lord saves.
Yeah.
He says he will save his people from their sin.
That's such a huge statement.
Yeah.
I mean, this baby Jesus, this Yeshua, this, you know, little child will save the world, like, has the ability to rescue and redeem lost people eternally that will be forever separated from God. I mean, that's a huge, I know, like, the word Joshua is fairly common, but the weight of that, the declaration at his birth, before his birth, this child will save his people from eternal separation from God.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
And the name Jesus was a common name in the first century. And so, you know, people aren't, well, you know, it's like my name is Puma. And, you know, so that's just, you know, who I am. But if someone just hears that name and they don't know me, they might think of what?
A cat.
A cat,
or,
right?
Or shoes.
A cat, or, yeah, or a brand name of, you know, sports, you know, equipment or whatever. But, you know, when you know me, it's just kind of mm-hmm. me. But, you know, people heard the name Jesus so often in the first century that, you know, and they're hearing the Lord saves when mm-hmm. they hear the name Jesus, Yeshua, and yet it was so familiar that the weight or meaning behind that. And yet God in his mm. love for us wanted the name Jesus to be such a very present reminder that of God's heart. God's mm. desire is to save and rescue sinful people. That's his heart.
Yeah.
And he want, you know, so much so that even in Jesus's name, it was just a picture, a statement of that very heart reflected all the time. Mm. And it was so familiar that people didn't even catch that. And I think that's true for you and I today. I mean, mm. you know, it's Christmas season, yeah. and we celebrate, you know, the birth of Jesus, our Savior.
Yeah.
And we say that, we sing carols. But do we really understand and ponder just the weight of that and just the heart of God mm. reflected in, mm-hmm. in this season?
Well, even like the song Joy to the World, right? The Lord has come. I mean, is there really joy behind the name Jesus? Is that really something to be joyful over, that Jesus came to save, I mean, to rescue, to redeem, to buy back lost sinners? I mean, you're right. I think it's so mundane. It's so common. Yeah, Jesus. I mean, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, the Lord saves, sure. But the weight of that, when we stop and reflect that without Jesus, literally nothing really matters in this life. I mean, without being redeemed, who cares if we're wealthy? Who cares if we have the coolest cars and if we have all? Without the eternal relationship, without the one who redeemed us from what we're going to without him, I mean, you're right. I take it sometimes way too simply, and I don't ponder, I don't really thank God for this name, because he could be named lots of things. I mean, the Son of God, literally the Son of the God of the universe, could have so many names. And yet God, in his wisdom and his love for mankind, chose this name. The Lord will save his people from his sins. Name him Jesus. That's amazing.
It is. And I just, as we're kind of talking and I was thinking about this, I do. I love the warm fuzzies of Christmas, and I get caught up in everything and I, you know, forget very, very, very easily that mm. Jesus came to save sinners. He came to save me. Mm. And I see my sin very lightly. I don't see that. Yeah. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I mean, I'm better than, you know, I can find 10 people that I'm better than, right?
But
just that statement, because he will save his people from their sins, mm. you know, it's not he might, it's he will. Yeah. And Jesus did. I mean, Jesus was born, he lived exactly what his name declared, mm. that he's a Savior. You know, in Luke 2, when the angels came, you know, they came to the shepherds, they said, a Savior has been born to you. Mm-hmm. In John chapter 4, when the woman at the well, you know, she's like, oh, you're the Messiah. She runs back into town and she tells the people come out, they want to see for themselves. And after they spend some time with Jesus, they say, we no longer believe because you have told us this. Mm-hmm. We now have really heard him and we believe that this man really is the Savior of the world. Mm-hmm. It's not that I acknowledge Jesus, but have I actually personally personalized him? Have I actually accepted? Do I really believe that he is my Savior, that he has rescued me from the penalty of my sin? He's rescued me from eternal death. He's rescued me from the wrath of God mm. that my sin deserves, that he has restored me because I can't restore myself. I mean, one of my favorite verses that we've talked about in this podcast in the past is, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who had no sin, Jesus, mm-hmm. became sin for us so that in him we could become the righteousness yeah. of God, be right with God, that Jesus rescued me mm. from my sin.
Yeah, well, that's a great point, Puma. Like the contrast of Jesus coming up again, literally God, literally perfect. He came to save sinners by becoming sin. And like, you know, I don't want to forget the cross, right? That like he came on a mission. This little baby came to make disciples, to make disciples and to pay for the sins of the world. And coming to earth, there was a real cost. The name was going to cost him. To save sinners was going to cost him. And yet from day one, you know, I love what John says, like that he willingly, with joy set before him, well, Hebrews, right? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, that there was joy to be the savior of the world. That Jesus, not that he wanted to die, not that he wanted to be crucified, but he wanted to redeem people. His name is to redeem sinners, that God can save sinners. That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you.
Yeah.
And so a question, you know, that I ask sometimes, or, you know, for myself, you know, what do I need to be saved from? And I think that's a question, you know, for us to ask ourselves, because many people, especially this season, this holiday season, this Christmas season, we like Jesus, we like all the fun and festive stuff, but they don't really see themselves as really needing to be rescued from their sin. I need to be rescued from my financial difficulties. I need to be rescued from maybe a bad relationship that I'm in. I need to be rescued from maybe some stupid choices that I've made. But do I really recognize that my greatest need is to be rescued from my sin? And this is what the name Jesus and Jesus coming is all about.
Yeah.
You know, that he will save his people. Name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sin.
Mm. No, that's a good AQ. Yeah, like what do I need to be rescued from? And I mean, I think even for myself, when I realize I need to be rescued from my sinful heart, the name Jesus is that much more beautiful. The name of God, the Son of God, that he saves, the Lord saves, Jesus can save. When I realize what I need to be rescued from, me, from sin, then the name Jesus becomes that much more beautiful.
Yeah, and we see this throughout, you know, the New Testament. You know, there's no other name by which men can be saved but Jesus, the name above all names.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus, Yeshua, the Lord saves.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's just something to really ponder this season and really want to encourage you as you celebrate and enjoy really all the blessings that come with that. But the greatest blessing is that we have one who came to rescue us from our greatest need, which is our sin that separates us from the God who knows us and loves us. So I trust that all you who may listen to this, that you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, that you've acknowledged that Jesus is not just someone to talk about or add to your life, but someone that you desire to know intimately because he lived, died, and rose again for you. He is the Savior.
Yeah, oh, that's good. Yeah, thank you, Puma. And thank you, guys. You know, I agree with my dad. You know, this holiday season, it's about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. And we have so much to be thankful for. If you have any questions or comments, guys, as always, feel free to reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We hope you guys have a very Merry Christmas. We'll see you guys next time, Friday at 10:10. Till then, guys, bye.
Yep, bye-bye.